And take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. And I'll read for us beginning in verse 15 through verse 20. You'll remember that these are Jesus' words as he comes near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, summarizing some of his teaching and giving us a warning. Hear now God's word, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So far the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening because we confess that without the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, that we will not benefit from these words and benefit and receive the blessing of hearing your word preached. We pray that your Holy Spirit might work in us, that we would come before you with humble hearts, desiring that you might enlighten our minds, that you might open our ears, and that you might soften our hearts so that we, by the working of your Holy Spirit, might be changed. Do these things for us this evening, we pray, even as we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I think it's easy for us to forget that as human beings, we really live in constant danger. Our bodies are frail, our minds are easily put aside, and often we live in a danger that we do not even see or recognize. Things that seem so harmless by themselves can actually be very dangerous. Take a grapefruit as an example. A grapefruit is good to eat. It's soft. It's not very heavy. Even if you threw it at somebody, it'd be pretty hard to injure them very seriously. About a year ago, I was driving in Haiti. I had just picked up Pastor Octavius to go up to the wharf where we were going to travel to Lago Nave. And as we were traveling along the main highway, coming the other way was a school bus. Now, when they're done with the school buses here in Haiti, or here in America, they don't work so well anymore. They're ready to buy new ones. They send them off to Haiti and they get repainted, and they use them as express buses between the major cities. And so people pile into the bus. They often have goods on top. Sometimes you'll even see people riding on the top. And as this bus came towards us from the other way, all of a sudden I see about a dozen grapefruits come flying off the top of the bus. And it was just like you see in the movies. It was like everything happened in slow motion. I could see the grapes bounce on the road, and one of them came, bounced on the road, and hit the windshield of our truck right in the middle. Bang! Just a loud bang. But we were okay. That thing that's so harmless by itself turned out, in fact, to be very dangerous. And here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us a warning. He says, "Beware of the false prophets." He's giving us a warning. He's saying, beware, watch out, keep alert, be careful. And in fact, Jesus uses this warning six different times in the Gospel of Matthew, almost always describing the scribes and the Pharisees and warning the people about their teaching and about their lives. I want us to look at this text briefly tonight and to ask three questions of it. First of all, what are these false prophets like? Secondly, how do we recognize them? If they're out there, how do we know who they are? How do we recognize them? And then thirdly, what is going to be their end? What are these false prophets like? Jesus describes them, of course, not just as prophets, but as false prophets, or maybe better, as pseudo-prophets. They're fakes. They may look like true prophets of God. They may speak words that sound like truth, but in fact, they're fakes. They're men who say they've been called by God, and they say to us, God has said, but in fact, He hasn't spoken. They speak their own mind and not the mind of God. They claim to have visions and dreams like the Old Testament prophets. But as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, in the past God spoke in many ways and in different ways through dreams and through the prophets. But in these last days He's spoken to us through His Son. They're false prophets because they do not proclaim the living and true Savior. And indeed, they take a prophetic stand against Jesus' ministry. That's exactly what we see in the Gospels. Those that seem to consistently oppose Jesus are the scribes and Pharisees. While those whom you might think, a Roman centurion, a tax collector, a prostitute, the regular people observing their religion there in the temple, they are the ones who go after Jesus to hear His word. They are false or pseudo-prophets. What else are they like? Jesus says that they come to you in sheep's clothing. If you think about the church around the world, the church has always been persecuted. And even in our day, it is also persecuted. We think of a place like North Korea where the leaders there call upon the people to worship Him. They even set up idols, gigantic statues of the presidents for people to worship. And for any who would call themselves Christians, they say, you may not worship together. And often they're thrown into prison and even killed. And certainly the church is persecuted from the outside. But Jesus is warning us here that sometimes that persecution, as it were, comes from the inside because these false prophets come in sheep's clothing. They look like the sheep. They don't look like the wolves that Jesus is going on to describe them as. But Jesus says that sometimes the real problem for the church comes from within. Because those who would proclaim another gospel look like the sheep. They look like the sheep because they know that just as with physical sheep, if the shepherd sees a wolf, he's going to chase it off, maybe even kill it. But if that one looks like a sheep, they're let in. They're in disguise. They're within the church. But Jesus says they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. What do they look like? What are they like, these false prophets? They are ravenous wolves. They come only to destroy. Jesus uses that word as these wolves whose hunger is never satisfied. They are never satisfied with the destruction that they wreak among the flock. But they eat the sheep. They are deadly. And it's only through the protection of the shepherd that the sheep are made safe. They are dangerous because they bring a false gospel. They allow sin to enter the church. I'm reminded of Jacob's prophecy to his sons at the end of his life where he brings his sons together to bless them. And he prophesies about Benjamin, his youngest son, and says that Benjamin is like a ravenous wolf, proclaiming, I think, both his desire for truth, but also what is going to come as they give themselves over to sin. And later on in Judges 19 through 21, we hear of that wicked violation of the Levite's concubine and how they assault her in such a horrible way that she's left for dead. And then Israel comes together because this happened in a town in Benjamin. They come together and they nearly destroy the whole tribe. and that an abomination, they say, an abomination and an outrage has happened in Israel. That's how we might describe these ravenous wolves who come among the sheep to destroy. That they come bringing words that are an abomination and an outrage in Israel. And so we are called to be on our guard because these false prophets that Jesus spoke about in his day are also out and about in our own day. John, the Apostle John, says in 2 John verse 7 that even in his day, there were deceivers and antichrists who would go against the church. That's what the false prophets are like. Well, how do we recognize them? How do we tell who they are? If you ever come to visit Haiti and we drive from the airport up to our house, as we drive along and you look at the side of the road, you'll see all these little kind of shacks. They're probably just big enough to fit a couple chairs inside. They have often wooden sides and a tin roof. And as you look, there's one word that you'll recognize printed on many of them, and it's the word bank. You'll see the Super Bank, and you'll see the Leslie Bank, and all these banks, and you'll think, wow, the Haitian people are really into saving money and putting their money into the bank. But as it turns out, these little banks at the side of the road are little lottery stands where people can go and give their money, hoping, really against hope, to make even more. They're in fact not saving their money, but throwing it away. And just as these false prophets are disguised, so these are not true banks in Haiti. But how do we then recognize them? Well, Jesus says in verse 16 that we will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus, speaking particularly to the religious leaders in his day, knew who they were. He knew their hearts. Even John the Baptizer, who came before Jesus, spoke to these scribes and Pharisees as they came out to see him baptizing people in the River Jordan. Back in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." He's calling them to bear fruit. He's saying, if you really are repenting and repentant before God, live a life that shows that repentance is true. But they would not, because John goes on to say, "And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." You see, we will recognize these false prophets by their fruits, because they claim to speak the truth of God, but they themselves will not even follow it and lead many others astray. As Jesus has said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, they want to relax, in fact, the commandments of God instead of pointing people and calling people to obedience. They want to relax the commandments when Jesus says, "I've come not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them." You will recognize them by their fruits. And you will recognize them also, Jesus says, by their health. They're in fact not healthy. And he uses this agricultural metaphor here. In verse 16, he says, "Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." What is Jesus saying? He's saying that just as we can look at a tree and see how healthy it is by the fruit that it bears, so it is with these false teachers. They're the diseased tree. And again, sometimes you can't see that disease in the tree right away. It's hidden by the bark. It's maybe down in the root of the tree, but by the time it begins to bear the fruit, you can see that there's something wrong. The fruit is spotted and black. It's maybe small and feeble, and you know that there's something wrong here with the tree. So it is with these false prophets. Jesus will say the tree is known by its fruit. He is speaking to us about the heart of these false prophets who would wreak havoc among the church, that they will not look to Jesus, they will not repent of their sins, and they call us to anything else except a true repentance and service of God. They are not healthy, but you will know them, he says, by their fruits. What about you? If we were to follow you around for a week and to observe your life very closely from sun up to sun down, what would we see? I know that we wouldn't see perfect people, but I hope that we would see a people who easily forgive others, who repent when they sin, a people who desire to love God, sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd. Because that's what Jesus says. Again, using that metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd, Jesus says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. They follow after him. And though we know that's not true of the false prophets, I pray that that's true of you. Well, what is their end? In verse 19, Jesus says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Remember that grapefruit that came off the top of the bus and hit the windshield of our truck? You know, the windshield did its job. It hit right on the top and the middle, and it shattered a good part of the windshield, but it stayed in one piece. On the left-hand side, I was still able to see through. I wasn't so surprised that I lost control and we pulled over to the side. The windshield did its job of protecting the passengers in the car. It stayed on. We could control the car. God watched over us. God watches over His people. And that's what you need to know here, is that Jesus is saying to us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, that God watches over His church. He watches over His people. And that these trees that do not bear good fruit, these diseased trees that are the false prophets, who do not speak the truths of the Scriptures, their end is to be cut down and to be thrown into the fire. They do not bear good fruit. John the Baptizer warned the Pharisees, again, back in Matthew chapter 3, about what was going to happen if they would not repent, if they would rely on their standing as physical descendants of Abraham. He said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You see, the problem was they were keeping people from the kingdom of God. These men who had been entrusted with the Scriptures, who had been given the very oracles of God, were actually keeping people out. And so God says they were going to be judged, and a severe judgment it was. For God, after the time after Jesus ascended into heaven, eventually the Jewish nation would be set aside, the temple would be destroyed. They would go again into exile. They're thrown into the fire. I think Jesus is very clearly here speaking of hell. And that is the ultimate end of all those who would reject Him and the true gospel that Jesus preaches to us. It's the fires, the eternal torment of hell. Bad fruit means a bad end. But we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, have hope. I want to conclude with this verse from Matthew 24, where Jesus is speaking about that time in which we live, these last days that began with the coming of Jesus, when there are many false prophets out there, many who would preach against the gospel and say, you can be saved by your good works, you just have to be pretty good. But Jesus says in Matthew 24:24, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." He's saying it's going to be amazing. Some of them will indeed perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. But this should encourage us, because Jesus is not saying that they are able to lead astray the elect. God's people are God's people, and He is the one who preserves them. And so the encouragement for us here is that the shepherd knows his sheep, and he will lead them home even to the end. Jesus knows his own. The good shepherd knows his sheep even as they know his voice. And so let me encourage you then to follow him, to not be afraid, to keep the faith, and to not listen to the voice of the false prophets, but rather to listen to the voice of Jesus as it's proclaimed to us in the scriptures that we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that even as we hear your word read and preached, that it is powerful because it is your word. And I pray that you might send us away from this place, continuing to take these words and applying them to our hearts so that we might know not only how great is our salvation, but then how we are called to live. Give us faith, we pray, and give us strength that this week we might do your most holy will, all for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen.